I heard the doctors discussing whether or not to amputate. The nurse asked me to take the hat off, but I refused.
"Don't you know what that is?" the doctor asked the nurse. "That's the unit's symbol. These are the boys who got smart and lost their minds."
But I hadn't. That was the final irony, the final failure. I hadn't even managed to get my brains blown out, just a foot. Somehow, in all my furious self-destructiveness, I had never considered this possibility. I had always seen myself going out in a blaze of contempt for the whole human farce. But to live, and crippled, that was the meanest fate of all. My great adventure had failed. Worse, I was 20 years old, and I had discovered that there was no real adventure anywhere in the world. Chapter 3. The Pebble in the Shell. I lay on the hospital bed, my right leg so encased in plaster that I could scarcely move. At first I had visitors from my unit, but the others were getting themselves killed or wounded too, and after all, life was moving on. The doctors told me I would never walk without a cane. It was better not to think about these things. Bit by bit, my buddies stopped coming. But not before they had accomplished two things that were to alter events for me. The first was to mail a letter I had never intended mailing. It was to Thiel. I had picked up an odd habit. Whenever I came back from a late night on the town, or a battle that left me feeling especially dirty, I would write to Thiel. I would put down on the paper all the filthy, disgusting things I had seen and done, things I could never really share with anyone, then I would burn it. Just before I went into my last battle, I had started such a letter to Thiel, and had left it unfinished in my barracks bag. Well, after I was hit, a helpful buddy went through my bag for personal items before turning it in. And being a resourceful kind of fellow, he looked up Thiel's name in my address book and mailed it. You could see he thought he'd done something extra nice. "Man," he teased me when he visited me in the hospital, "I've never seen such a list of names. What do? Write to every family in Holland that has a pretty girl? It took me half an hour to find the last name that went with Thiel. You better be careful, man. This could start another war." Horror must have shown in my face, because he suddenly jumped out of his chair. "Gee, Andy, I didn't realize it still hurt so bad, and here I am making lousy jokes. I'll come back when you feel better." For days I tried to remember what I had written in that wretched letter. As near as I could recall, it began, "Dearest Thiel, I'm so lonely tonight. I wish you were here. I wish I could look right into your eyes as I say all these things and know that you still liked me, or at least didn't condemn me. You wrote me once that I should pray. Well, I haven't. Instead, I curse. I know words I never even heard in Holland. I tell filthy jokes,